I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Memo. It is Thursday, May the 12th. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Brad Locke, here to bring you the latest in news from Northeast Mississippi. Brad, how are you doing today?
Not too bad. Better. I sound better, don't I?
Better
I
think
I
do.
Better than yesterday.
Oh, yeah. You had sinuses yesterday.
Remember, I got punched in the face by the sinus fairy.
I can't keep up with all your ailments, Brad.
I had to go to the dentist this morning to get my teeth cleaned.
See, that's an ailment. I can't.
There was a lot of blood. You know, they put that thing in your mouth. When she was cleaning your teeth, the lady that was cleaning my teeth, she was like digging into my gums. You know, they put that tube in your mouth to drain everything out after they spray the water, and I could see it, and there's like all this blood going through the
it's
tube.
It's not
like,
something geez. You normally hear. I went to the dentist get my teeth. There was a lot of blood.
Do you floss?
I don't.
That's the problem. You're supposed to floss. Chris flosses every
toughens
day.
Toughens up your gums.
I just don't even think to do it, honestly. I get in a rush and just brush my teeth, and I'm good.
Floss a day keeps the blood away.
Or something.
Something like that.
I rarely have cavities, so that's good.
Well, let's hope you don't get the measles.
Yeah, I don't want that.
From your blood and open mouth.
I've been vaccinated, thank you.
Did we keep our clean rating with this? This is bad. Not sure that we do. Talking about measles, Michaela Moore is joining us in a little while.
Yes.
Speaking of measles,
we call that a segue in the business. Michaela Moore is joining us to talk about four who have been under quarantined in Northeast Mississippi in recent weeks due to possible case of the measles between the four of them. Also, three others that under heavy watch from Big Brother, George Orwell, 1984 type stuff going
is
on.
That
with
like
these
are they
measles.
Just making sure they don't scratch?
They just put cameras in the house. The one time somebody just gets
he's
the shoulders.
Scratching. He's getting, got it.
Four! The bubble comes down. Suddenly you're bubble boy for the next 4 weeks.
Great episode of Seinfeld.
Also, Zach Orsborn joining us. The Moops! Zach Orsborn joining us first up to talk about his excellent story, The Face of Student Debt. He has interviewed four people. Did all this himself, did the illustration, did the photography and everything. He also, he's a recent grad. We hired him in August, I think
August,
he said.
Yeah, yeah.
And won first place in the AP Awards for a business story.
Overachiever. So.
Right, yeah, you. So we're proud of Zach. We'll have him on as well as Scott Morris discussing Captain America: Civil War, the 13th in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Already,
I was going to say third Captain America movie, but then I realized it was like the 13th of the.
But it is the third.
It is the third Captain America movie, but it is the 13th. Of all of these.
How old is Robert Downey Jr. going to be by the time they finish all this? He's in his 50s, right? Iron Man is going to get pretty old.
He's in his 50s, I would say.
Iron Grandpa.
And then, Derek Russell joining us to talk about
that's you.
Scene section. Oh, sorry. I'll be talking about what's going on.
Referring yourself in the third person.
I do it from time to time. Talking about what's going on in Northeast Mississippi and the arts and entertainment world this weekend. So lots to cover today.
Okay. I guess we should start.
We should probably. You should also visit South.
Oh, you should visit South. It's a they're sponsoring the show. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere, Derek.
Located on North Gloucester in the Old Shoney's.
Yes, the Old Shoney's.
The Old Shoney's.
The Old Shoney's.
The Old Shoney's.
Kind of miss Shoney's, though, but not really. It's one of those childhood things. You grow up, you realize it's not that great.
No. Char grilled chicken.
As a kid, you loved it.
That's my
favorite. The breakfast bar had like endless bacon. It was awesome. But South is good, too. South is better, let's be honest.
Much better.
Visit South.
Okay.
All right. Zach Orsborn joining us now, a recent college graduate himself. You're barely a year out.
Barely.
You joined the Daily Journal team in August. So I imagine this story you have written that came out in Monday's paper was near and dear to your heart. If I'm not mistaken.
Very.
I don't want to assume, but
no,
as most of us probably did.
It was definitely inspirational for my own life because I'm $26,000 in student debt. So
you could have just put your picture on the front page.
I should have done the faces of student debt, just put my face. But I wanted to talk to college students some that are graduating, some that are still in school, and some that have been out for a while, just to kind of see how they feel about it. And most of them said that from the sense I got, they felt guilty about having student debt. They had a lot of anxiety, worry, and it just keeps student debt keeps getting worse and worse because there's a bunch of factors. No, there's not one right answer because there's the rise of college tuition, which is just steadily growing. Since let's see, at Mississippi State, the tuition rose. In 2010, it started at $5,461 a year, and it's now $7,780 a year. That's at MSU for full time in state student, and it's causing a lot of problems with students and their kind of mental health and also financial health.
I will say, from a standpoint of myself who pays student loan, I feel like now might be the best time ever to have had student loans, though. I mean, just looking at deals in the past and the ways they fluctuate now, a lot of companies are more apt to give payment plans. You've got IBRs, you've got, you know, stuff that helps you out a whole lot more versus, I know, like, a generation 15 years behind us
right.
that, I mean, it was like, you know, here's your amount, pay it or you're in default. And
exactly.
So more awareness.
Yeah. I think that's a better way to put it. And a lot of, you know, we've seen a lot of community colleges move to trying to get free courses available. President Obama's worked through that. So, you talked to four different individuals, all kind of in different spots in their life.
All different ages.
Yeah. To walk us through who you spoke with.
So I first spoke to Josh McElroy. He just graduated Saturday with a master's in clinical mental health counseling. And so he did the grad program, and he's $62,000 in student debt. And his pool quote, and he said, right now I'm in the rumination period where I'm thinking I shouldn't have taken this much out. Granted, I lived off of it, and it helped me not starve and die, but it's like maybe I could have worked two more jobs to try and see if I could do it.
We call that buyer's remorse on the highest level.
Yes.
See, but now he master's, so he's not even probably started having to pay yet.
You have graduate 6 months. Saturday,
that, yeah, that, then boom, you, you're already. Mm-hmm.
That 6 months comes really fast.
Yeah, I imagine so. And you can't save up $62,000 in 6 months.
No, not at all. So at the beginning of the semester, they have this, we call it refund check time, whenever you get the overflow from your federal student loan check.
That was a happy day.
It was, because you don't want to live on campus when you're a junior, and you want to move off campus. So it helps with rent. It also helps with books. Books are still super expensive. And see, what we would do is we would put down 6 months' rent from that federal check and just call it a day.
Yeah.
But we didn't realize at the time that you were going to have to pay it back. It's just kind of like perceived as free money.
Yeah.
At first.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's very wrong. And Josh was talking about how the overflow of his federal student loan, he used it to pay for rent, gas, electricity, internet. And he said it's free and it's not a bill until he graduates. The longer he stayed in school, the less he thought about it. But in the back of his head, he always thought it's adding up.
I mean, that's honestly, a lot of people go for their master's or stay or go back just so they can defer. Just not have to start paying it. I mean, I've seen that a lot of times.
Yeah, he paid, I didn't put this in an article, but for a while he was out of school, he paid, it took him 3 years to pay off $3,000 for one of his summer loans, like for summer school. So it takes a bit. And then I also talked to Lucretia Wembley. She is a graduating senior, and she was the editor of the Reflector. Fun fact, she was also the first black editor of the Reflector. On her section, she talked a lot about the university should be more transparent on where the money's going, because you can't just like Google, where is my tuition going? It's a bunch of, you have to go through a bunch of departments to find out that kind of stuff. And she said specifically, let's look at the numbers. Is there a need, or are you increasing it for more money? Because there's always rumors, because there's always construction going on and stuff like that. So we never really know where it's going. Then I talked to Andrew Stanford, and he went to art school in Savannah, and he's like 28, and so he's had a while to start paying his. And thing with his is he started out with $80,000 in student debt but with interest over time, it's now 100,000 in student debt. So the interest rates are crazy.
I just screamed at such a high pitch you couldn't even hear it.
Yeah, I was wondering what that silence was, but
no, there was no silence inside. It was just, if there had been subtitles, it would have said internal screaming right there.
And the last person I talked to was Michael Harris, and he's a junior at Mississippi State. So he's not even having to think about that just yet.
Yeah.
He's only 20,000.
You just bummed him out totally.
Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely one of the most honest people. I asked him why he thinks there's such a financial problem with student debt. He said, I think on the state level, they do a horrible job on educating high school students on state funds that you can acquire instead of going straight to the federal government. And he believed one of the reasons that the debt has gotten so out of control is because the universities are getting more funds. And he said they're letting so many people in because they know the school is getting a certain percentage of money that we take out. And as they are getting more funds, the students keep getting stuck in higher education. And we're always going to have to pay for that unless, you know, you have rich parents and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I guess, too, Zach, I know you kind of mentioned with tuition costs going up. I know I've heard from my time, I guess, covering schools and you know, looking at that side, as the state legislature has, I think the percentage of funding that the universities are receiving from the state has gone down significantly. It used to be, I don't have the numbers, the exact numbers, but if it were, say it were 60% mm-hmm. previously from state funds and 40% tuition, it's right. like flipped now that it's like 60% mm-hmm. comes from tuition and 40% from the state. So
yeah.
I know that, you know, they've had to, as you said, raise tuition a lot more because of that. And maybe this kind of gets to what the other guy was saying, raise enrollments a lot more. I mean, they're all at record enrollments, and a lot of that is because they need that those tuition dollars, like you said, so much more.
My class was the biggest class so far, and now I just heard that the classes just coming in is the biggest now, so it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And going back to the state funding, it said between 1991 and 2010, state funding dropped. From a full-time student dropped by 26.1%. So it's state funding is pretty much.
Yeah, so they're having to get a lot more tuition mm-hmm. to make up for that, I guess.
Exactly.
And like you said, it's going up a lot. Is a part of this, I mean, I don't know the people you talk to, if they've got jobs yet, but I mean, I guess on a macro level, a lot of what's making this even worse is the fact that it seems like it's harder for recent college grads to get jobs now, mm-hmm. and so then you've got all this debt, and maybe not necessarily getting a high paying job, you know, to start paying it off. Were you kind of seeing some of that?
Well, with Lucretia, she had she said she didn't regret going to college and having all this debt because she gained hands on experience, which helped her get an internship at the Pittsburgh Post Gazette, and then Andrew Stanford, he used to work at Hancock before, you know, all that happened. But he got a new job, and he's able to start paying more and more on his student loans. And for Josh and Michael, I'm sure Josh will get a job because he interned at Behavioral Health, and I'm not sure about Michael because he's still a junior and stuff.
Sure.
What overall do you think are some lessons that people that might be listening could take away from these four that you spoke to? Was there anything that warnings they gave or anything like that?
For warnings, I would say that
don't do it.
Well, a lot of them, most of them said they didn't regret it.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, I
don't really regret it because I'm here and I have a job.
It changes day to day, you know. Yeah. Some days you're like, why? But then, you know, other days you're like, well, obviously I have a job. It went towards something, you know. It's
just like a cloud that's always going to be there, and you can either choose to look at it or ignore it.
Yeah.
Got to spend money to make money, right?
The further you get removed from it seems so far in your past, it's like a car that you've gotten rid of three times already to me or something. It's like, you know, when you buy a house, you have a house. You're standing in your house. You own a house. And this, it just kind of, the further removed you are, it seems like, why
am I still paying?
You forget some of the value of it. Yeah, sure.
You're not there having to hustle for it every day like you were.
You don't realize that it got you through 4 years of college because I got to live in an apartment. And
well, and then there's some people who just blow it. I mean, they're just like, party, you know, just
exactly
go buy anything I want, eat out for every single meal, and and I'm going to get that 72-inch plasma. I'm going to get that money. So that those people have really got that remorse.
But yeah, right.
It seems you've found four level-headed people, and well, three level-headed and one that you just totally wrecked his day when you Well, good story, Zach. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank y'all.
And the illustration too. That it looked really sharp.
I appreciate
Sunday's paper.
Yeah, I wanted to take pictures of them and show them what it looks like to.
Should have looked at them, gotten them before they had took the money out. Then after,
then they're just dead in the eyes,
like we all are.
Yeah, exactly. All right, thank y'all.
Be sure to check out the two sports podcasts that we produce here at the Daily Journal. A new episode of Prep Rally dropped on Wednesday. It's high school sports talk with myself and Gene Phelps. It was just me this week, though. Gene was busy covering tennis over in Oxford yesterday, but you can listen to that for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. You can also go to djournal.com under the sports tab and rewatch the webcast if you'd like to. And also, today we'll have a new episode of a double coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Paris Alford and Logan Lowry. You can listen to that for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
All right, Michaela Moore is joining us now, our resident health expert, to discuss measles.
And,
everybody's favorite
and,
pastime
and
to talk
to be
about.
Clear, I am not a doctor or a nurse.
But she plays one on TV.
Well, or at least in the newspaper.
Okay.
I get to talk to them a lot and tell you about them.
Well, tell us about measles.
Well, it looks like things might be spooling down a little bit. The four folks who the Mississippi State Department of Health had in quarantine have been cleared. They've gone 3 weeks without developing measles. Now, they are watching three other folks who have also been exposed in this measles outbreak centered in Memphis. But, you know, so far, no Mississippi residents have come down with measles. Shelby County is holding at 7 cases. So it probably means that the high immunization rates locally are working. There's just not a lot of place for measles to go, and that means that babies who are too young to be immunized and people with compromised immune systems, like people going through cancer or who have other reasons they can't take that vaccine, are pretty much protected by the rest of us who have gotten the vaccine.
Gotcha. I'm sure between the CDC, Mississippi Department of Health, and HIPAA, we don't know much about these four individuals.
No, we do know that both the four who initially quarantined and the three that remain under surveillance are either unvaccinated or under-vaccinated.
Okay.
That means they may have chosen not to be vaccinated, and means they're under Mississippi law that they're not in school or daycare unless they had a medical exemption, meaning they had a medical reason. They have to, in Mississippi, you have to have a medical reason not to be vaccinated and still be able to go to public or private school or daycare. Or they may have be too young to be vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, you get that first measles, mumps, rubella vaccine at 12 months, and then you usually get a booster between 4 and 6, although you can have the booster anytime at 4 weeks after the original shot.
And if you act now, we'll throw in.
Or it could be somebody who is going through some kind of cancer treatment or other treatment that would dial down their immune system, and then for they aren't considered protected. So we don't know a lot. We do know they're in North Mississippi, mm-hmm. but we don't know what county they live in, or that kind of thing. But
or if it's your neighbor.
But at this point, they haven't They haven't had developed the measles, so they would actually have to develop measles to spread it to other people.
What are some symptoms of the measles?
Generally, the high fever, rash. You can also have a runny nose and a cough. If you have been to Memphis and you develop those symptoms, you need to call into your healthcare provider. You do not want to go into the emergency room or the pediatric clinic unannounced. You want, because if you in fact have measles, then you will have exposed all those other folks. There is a list on the Shelby County Health Department website of all the places that were exposed to measles with this outbreak. So if you're concerned, you can go on. That link is also in the story online and in the paper today. So you can get there. So if you're concerned that you might be, but call ahead and let them know that you've got a fever and a rash and you've been to Memphis in the last three weeks, and they will make arrangements to get you seen without exposing other people in the waiting areas to possible measles.
That backtracking has always terrified me, because if I was, I couldn't tell you where I was last night. Like, I don't remember. I've always been feared of being investigated by police or something like that. Where were you? I don't know. I can't remember.
Made a call at the Best Buy.
Were you at the mall? Maybe. I don't know who I was exposed, because I can't tell you where I was.
Well,
Kayla, is it kind of like chicken pox in that, is it bumps, the rash?
I can pull up a picture here real quick.
Look away.
It would be, it's a pretty distinctive rash. It is, they actually, it can be a little tricky to look at it. It's not raised bumps, but it is red dots, little red dots everywhere when you have measles. It's very distinctive. I guess they're raised just a little bit, but it's not a mosquito. It doesn't look like mosquito bites. And it to me, it looks different from the rash you would get from poison ivy. But it is, I mean, generally speaking, they're going to be able to look at you and take your symptoms and say, aha, you may or may not, or rule it out and say, no, it is distinct, I think, from chicken pox.
Are there any big risks of measles? I mean, is it just kind of an annoyance for a week or two, or are there complications?
There are risks of complications with measles, which is why they get so concerned about measles.
Not to mention super measles. You really don't want those.
The worst.
For by far and away most people, it's just going to be a miserable couple of weeks. But there are people who you can develop pneumonia for, people who have compromised immune systems. It's a virus, so there's really not much they can do to treat it straight off the bat. It does kill people. Across the world in 2010, it killed 139,000 kids. Or people, most of them were under the age of 5. So it is significant and serious, in part because it's so contagious, but. And you can have some long-term repercussions for it, but it's, for most people, it would be an annoying few weeks.
Especially if you died.
But
I just stating the obvious, sorry.
You know, but the big risks are that you would have pneumonia or encephalitis, which is an inflammation of the brain. Not super annoyance. Yeah, it can get serious, yes. And you can't always tell who's going to get serious.
And the thing you were telling me before we started here that makes this different from like the flu or anything, obviously far worse side effects or symptoms with this, it's not necessarily touching something. I mean, you breathe in.
Yeah, it's an airborne virus.
Yeah.
So
it's not like you can wear gloves and take some vitamin C and protect yourself.
Yeah, it's a significant virus.
What are you doing? Why are you scratching? Stay away from me.
So, but at the same time, it's maybe more if you were in Memphis in April and you happened to be at a doctor's office or at the emergency room at Le Bonheur, you know, you may want to watch your kids closer, but chances are some 98, 99% of kids in Mississippi are vaccinated. So if they're past a year, you've probably had this vaccine.
Yeah.
But it does reinforce why we do vaccinate our children. And it's
how important it is.
And it's important to protect them, and it's important to protect other children especially. And then also grandma who is going through breast cancer treatment. And the guy down the street who has a compromised immune system, and the next door neighbor's baby. These are all the people we vaccinate for, not just our own kids to protect them from the disease, but to protect others.
The best way I've seen it put, a friend of mine tweeted this about a year ago and it blew up. It was on CNN. It got like 30,000 retweets within an hour. And she said, if my kid can't bring peanut butter to school, your kid doesn't need to come to school unvaccinated. It's not that simple, but no, at the same time, it is.
These are things we do for the common good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, Michaela, good information. Thanks for joining us.
Always a good time.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant recently signed the Mississippi Budget and Transparency Act, but acknowledged it could have unforeseen consequences that require further action. The bill takes the money of 16 special fund agencies that receive funds from charging fees to other state agencies for services like rent or technical services. The money from those fees will be placed in the general fund, and those agencies will now be funded from that general fund. Bryant said he has assembled a group to better study the new law. If it is unable to resolve issues that arise before the next legislative session, he will take action to address them. That could include limited budget cuts or a special session to deal with any problems with the bill. One problem the bill has already created is a $56.8 million shortfall for the upcoming fiscal year.
150 RVs are in Verona this week for the Good Sam Club RV Rally. The club is the largest RV organization in the country. It brings together RV owners from all over the country to connect with fellow travelers. The club has more than 20 chapters in Mississippi, and the rallies choose a certain town for a weekend. This is the second time they have chosen the Lee County Agri Center in Verona. Tupelo Convention and Visitors Bureau has created a list of activities for the guests. It includes a tour of the Elvis birthplace, the Tupelo Automobile Museum, and a shopping trip downtown.
A hotel that the city wants torn down may soon be sold. That could delay the timeline for the North Gloucester building to be demolished. In February, the Tupelo City Council called for the demolition of the former Ramada Inn and Travel Lodge building. It also set a 90-day deadline that expires on Monday. Comerica holds the lien on the property and has said that a sale of it is imminent. City Attorney Ben Logan said the city council likely will negotiate a demolition deadline with the new owner. Logan said that would be cheaper than having the city pay to tear down the building.
Several renovation projects this summer will give the historic Church Street Elementary School building a bit of a facelift. The Tupelo Public School Board voted at Tuesday's meeting to approve JBHM Architects to draw up plans for a new parking lot and security fence and gate at the historic school building. Those projects are the first phase of a long-range and tentative plan to eventually have Church Street house the school district's central office. Future work at Church Street is contingent on funding, but TPSD Director of Operations Andy Cantrell said the first phase of work needs to be done either way. The district's finance and human resources departments are already located at Church Street, and the building is often used to host trainings and other events for district employees.
A Tupelo civic leader, an art supporter, and a Shannon native who rose up through the ranks of Bancor South will be among the top honorees at the 2016 Mississippi Trailblazers Awards on May 21st. The annual event recognizes Mississippians for their contributions to the advancement of diversity and multicultural exchange. It begins with a reception at 6 p.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn, followed by a dinner, award ceremony, and entertainment. Former Tupelo School Board member Sean Brevard will receive the Tupelo Civic and Public Service Award. She currently chairs the Link Center's Performing Arts Commission. Michael Booker will receive the Mississippi Leadership Award. He is Senior Vice President for Corporate Banking at Bancor South. For more information or for tickets, call 662-401-4763 or email trailblazersgala@aol.com. Need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining and a casual atmosphere. A lot of things going on at South. You got a new chef over there, Nick Rice. He's been on board since last April, so for over a year now. He's introduced a new lunch and dinner menu, and he's added a weekend brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. And don't forget, South is home to Tupelo's only Bellini Mimosa Bar on Saturdays, Derek.
Don't forget about trivia every Wednesday. The winner gets a $50 gift card. It starts around 7 p.m., and it's happy hour all night, too, at South.
At South on North Gloucester. It's Thursday. That means it's movie review day with Mr. M. Scott Morris. Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm not used to the Mr. Smart part. I like it.
You like it? Mr.
Yeah.
Morris.
Yeah. Mr. Morris sounds like the kind of guy who can make this podcast great again.
Well, don't get used to it. you reviewed it's definitely one of the first big summer blockbusters, Captain America Civil War, the third Captain America film, and I think it's the 13th in the Marvel series of films, the Avengers and all that. And there's a lot of expectations for it, and really, you know, they haven't made a bad film, I don't think, out of all these, and this one live up to expectations for you?
Oh, this was a fantastic movie. Okay. Now, I have to start off with a caveat in that my family and I are in the tank for Marvel. I mean, we watched them all. We own a bunch of them. And so we were thrilled to death. We were excited about seeing it. But sometimes when you get your expectations up and the movie can, like, let you down, this was a fantastic film. If you haven't seen some of the other movies, it could be difficult because they deal with a lot of characters.
Yeah.
And since my wife, we know the backstories of the characters, we're able to go along with that. And so when they introduce new characters, we're ready for that.
Yeah, yeah. Like Ant-Man, I haven't seen that yet, and Paul Rudd is his character's in this movie.
Yeah, and that's a great movie. You should see it. You're wrong not to have seen it.
Know.
That's a mistake you've made. You should correct it.
I will.
Ant-Man is hilarious and entertaining, okay. and I think fun. This is actually can be tense. This is a tense battle between two characters. You got Captain America, and you've got Tony Stark / Iron Man.
Yeah,
and they have a very real disagreement about how to go about saving the world. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And it grows out of previous movies. I mean, it reminded me of see if this sounds familiar to you. A while back, there was an attack on New York City.
Yeah.
Well, in the first Avengers movie, it wasn't terrorists. It was an intergalactic invading force,
yeah.
And the Avengers fought back. But since then, they've fought evil around the world, but there's still collateral damage to what's happened.
Yeah.
And so in that way, there's a bit of an analog, even though it's a comic book story, I think it's kind of grounded in what we're living through now. I mean, there's some reality to it underneath everything.
Yeah.
But even with all that, even with the gritty, even with death, even with friends fighting each other, there's still time for the brand new Spider-Man to show up in this movie crack
That's
a bunch
right.
of one-liners and have everybody in the theater laughing. So when we watched the Batman versus Superman movie a while back, and it was so ponderous and so grim, this is like an anecdote to that. This is a serious movie, but those serious moments stand in better relief because of the kind of the fun, enjoyable moments of this movie.
Speaking of the Spider-Man, is this yet another iteration, or is it the one that I can't remember the kid's name?
No, that was Garfield, the last one.
So is this a different one?
It's a new guy named Tom Holland, younger than Tobey Maguire was when he started it.
Okay.
Actually, he's 19, so he's not quite in high school like Peter Parker is or was or has been.
Right.
But he still has a youthful kind of approach to things. And in this, he's like, you know, if Tony Stark comes to you and wants you to try out for the team, that's kind of the way Spider-Man treats this battle, his part, and it's an extended job interview. Yeah. It's fun to watch.
I assume some of the conflict between Iron Man and Captain America, Tony Stark and I've forgotten Captain America's real name.
Steve Rogers.
Their personalities are quite different. I mean, Tony Stark's more of a maverick type, kind of do things a little bit his own way, so to speak. And Captain America's more of a follow-the-rules, straight-laced kind of guy.
You know, that's true, but they changed that up in this. It's really? Actually, in this movie, it's Iron Man who is open to the idea of United Nations oversight to what they do, where Captain America says, no, we should take our actions and then be responsible for the fallout. It makes sense the way it plays out. But that was kind of interesting when you played with their personalities and what you thought they would do. And I think that they made that work.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, you gave it an A, Scott, so I'm looking forward to seeing it, certainly. Better to see it in theaters, I'm assuming. I didn't see the second one until just recently on DVD, The Winter Soldier. And that guy's in there, too, The Winter Soldier.
Sebastian Stan plays him.
So anyway, looking forward to checking it out. And y'all can read Scott's review in today's scene section of the journal or at djournal.com. Scott, thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Be sure to come see Taste of Home Chef Jamie Dunn share her home cooking tips and tricks while demonstrating step-by-step recipes for the season's best dishes. And get a gift bag filled with the Taste of Home Cooking School magazine, coupons, and other items from national and local sponsors. This year's Taste of Home event will be held on Tuesday, May 17th at the Bancorp South Conference Center. Doors open at 4 o'clock and the show begins at 6. This is Tupelo's first cooking school in more than 10 years. There will be high-value door prizes, including bar stools from Stash and a major appliance from Home Depot, and many, many more. Tickets are $12 in advance and $15 at the door. You can purchase them at djournal.com/taste. Okay, Derek, tell us what's going on in around the area for this weekend. I see a couple of concerts I would avoid. I'm not going to mention them then.
Go ahead and get started with tonight. The Florida-Georgia Line concert at the Bancorp South Arena. That's going to kick off about 7 p.m., is that correct, Bradley?
Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah,
7 p.m. They've got a few guest artists joining them, some openers there, so that's a big deal. I think they sold out or very nearly sold out in 2014 when they were here last time. So I know a lot of people are excited about that.
Good for them.
Also tonight you can catch the opening of TCT's production of Art. This was supposed to be last weekend, but ended up getting pushed to this weekend. So that is today and tomorrow, Friday, at TCT Off-Broadway on East Franklin Street, right behind the Bancorp South Arena. Hope they don't have any competing for parking. With the Florida Georgia Line concert going on across the street there. So Art, it is a three-man show. It's a dark comedy, black comedy, I guess you'd call it. It's witty, but it's also depressing. So there you go.
Not for the kids.
Not for the young at heart.
Okay. Yeah, I see another country concert up in Corinth, and I just wanted to note this. One of the guys that's going to be there is named Colt Ford.
Colt Ford. Sounds like somebody would have been in the Peacemakers.
Is it related to Cooper Ford?
Yeah, that's their distant cousins. It's his ancestor.
That's a country music name.
Rodney Carrington of the Crossroads Arena on Saturday.
That is tonight. Friday. Tonight at 7, Rodney Carrington and Colt Ford.
I put tonight?
It says Friday. There you go. Well,
today's Thursday.
Wait, today's Thursday. Gosh. Now, see, I'm all out of sorts because you thought
Saturday.
Because you thought yesterday.
That says Saturday.
Well, that down there says Friday, son.
That is incorrect, and I'm not sure which one's which. I'll have to check on that.
Just cut all that out.
No, it's fine. I'll own up to it.
You got me all. See, you thought yesterday was Thursday. Now I'm thinking today's Friday. I'm all messed up.
I think it's Saturday. Friday.
It's Friday.
Well, it's incorrectly listed as Saturday on top of scene, but it, within the brief itself, it says the concert is Friday at the Crossroads Arena at 7 p.m. So.
Okay.
You can call that number there, 287-7779, for tickets. It's a lot of sevens in that one.
Yeah, it is.
Also, of course, the biggest thing going on in the area, the 45th annual Gumtree Arts Festival happens every year. Usually happens with Mother's Day. This is the first time I can find in the history of the event not taking place on Mother's Day weekend.
I should go to this. I've never been to one.
Well, there it is. You can visit it. Starts Saturday at 10 a.m. Go do the 10K, Brad, since you're a big avid runner. You do the 10K.
I'm not a big avid runner.
Yeah, I'm lying. And then you can go right. 10K, and then as soon as you run it, then you can run right over to the Gumtree Arts Festival, pick something up for your wife, and take it home. So
it looks like a good time.
It's always a good time. That's why it's for the 45th one.
Should go get me some culture.
Something obviously works.
No, 10K, no. I could maybe do a 5K, but not a 10K. Forget
limp
that.
Limp through a 5K.
Yeah.
Well. Also, something cool going on New Albany this weekend. The New Albany Ballet Company has made an original production of The Wizard of Oz.
Cool.
Turned it into a ballet. So that is going on at the Magnolia Civic Center. So that is something definitely to check out for the family. You can see that 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Like I said, Magnolia Civic Center, the New Albany Ballet Company presents The Wizard of Oz in an original production.
Okay.
So...
neat.
All good stuff to see. And, of course, you know, like Scott said, you could check out the 13th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Captain America, which is beating up the box office.
I hear it's good.
And each other.
I mean, they've all been pretty good.
Hills and valleys.
I saw the second, I may have told you this, I finally saw the second Captain America. That was one of my favorites.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Ultron.
The action was great. Yeah, Ultron. Yeah.
It's good. And that's what's going on in Northeast Mississippi. Here's what's happening in your neck of the woods. So
sunny, and actually, it's not going to be sunny today.
No, it is rain, not. It's overcast and possibly storms happening in the Northeast Mississippi region for today. So we will be back Monday with an all-new episode. We want to remind you, of course, about visiting South this weekend. The show is sponsored by South. It's a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Try their cheap date night every Tuesday night when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. It includes salad, sides, dessert, and beer or wine, all for $25.
Well, if I just went by myself, could I still get the deal so I can get two meals?
Yeah, probably.
If I'm really hungry?
Yeah. After you do that 10K, you just run right over to South.
That'd be kind of sad, wouldn't it? Cheap date night by myself.
Coming back on Monday, though, a whole new week full of episodes and news from gathered from around the region. Visit us online, memo.djournal.com. You can email us, memo@journalinc.com. That's ink with a C. You'd think it's with a K because it's a newspaper, but it's a C. You would be
that
incorrect.
Would be clever.
Kind of like the heading on the front page of Scene this morning that says a concert is on Saturday when it's really on Friday.
Yep.
And also want to visit us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. That's where you can find out when new episodes of our podcast are available. But if you subscribe to the podcast in your resident podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Satchel, Stitcher FM, anything like that, they will download automatically when new episodes are released on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Hey, go
Thursdays,
to iTunes.
Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Saturdays. Monday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays.
Now you're confusing everyone.
Apparently, I have an aversion to Fridays and Thursdays.
Okay.
They will tell you when new episodes are available as well. They'll download for you automatically. On top of that, all the stories we talked about today you can find in your copy of Daily Journals this week, either from Monday or Thursday's edition, and online, djournal.com. And we will see you on Monday.
Have a great weekend,
everybody.